My poor glad you know who holds tomorrow, church. Amen. All right. Thank you all for being here. I want to welcome any visitors we have this morning. Thank you for being here. Make yourself at home. We're glad that you're here. I want to welcome anybody watching on Facebook. I'm so glad that even if you can't be here present with us this morning, you can still be a part of this worship service. So welcome to you guys as well. I'm excited about this service. You know, we were gone last week and we missed y'all, and we watched it through Facebook. So thankful for that, but glad to be back in person worshiping with my church family. So thank y'all for being here this morning. All right. So 2 weeks ago, we started a new sermon series called Uncomfortable. And that first sermon really emphasized the attitude that we bring when we come to church. The attitude that we have about being a part of the church. And we talked about the whole consumer approach, consumer mindset. Sort of the what can I get out of this mindset that so many people have today concerning the church and concerning God altogether. So with that consumer mindset, you know, you go to a particular local church, and that church has to check enough of the boxes for you, or it has to meet enough of your desired, preferred preferences, or just leave that church and go somewhere else, and or worse than that, leave that church and don't go anywhere else, just quit going altogether. That happens. But that mindset, that's not how church is supposed to be approached. The consumer mindset, that's not how we're supposed to approach the things of God, and especially the church. We're to approach the church as a place where we can submit our will to God's will. Right? And we can, church is a place where we can serve others instead of coming and expecting to be served ourselves. So this week, as we move into the next sermon in this series, I want us to keep all that in mind from the first one while we continue to think through what it means to be an active part of a local church. The Bible has a lot to say about how we are to be the church, how we interact with each other at church and as the church. Right, this church meets at this physical address, right? But when we all separate and leave, we're still the church. So wherever we go, the church goes, right? And the Bible speaks so much on how that works and what that looks like. The Bible tells us that every single one of us has an important role to play in the church. We tend to think of the upfront roles as the most important. So I'll pick on me and Robert for a second. We usually think of the pastor or the worship leader as like the most important role in the church. But that's not true. Every role is important. And there is so much that goes on before, during, and after a service to make everything happen. And not just during a service, all throughout the week. There's so many countless things that have to be done to make the church function as it should. But so many people just recognize the more visible roles and think that they're the most important. But the truth is, every role is important. It takes all of us coming together, doing our part for the church to be the best that it can be and for us to accomplish the mission that God has called us to accomplish. Since this coronavirus stuff has started, we have not been able to have children's church. It's been a long time since we've had children's church, right? And I know that the kids, I've talked to them, the kids miss it. And even though I never get to go and be a part of children's church, I miss us having that because I believe children's church is hugely important. It's such an important part of what we do as a church. That time, and if you have ever volunteered your time and gone back there and led or helped with children's church, I want to thank you. As a pastor, I want to thank you for that because we could not overemphasize how important that time is. Just teaching Bible stories, just listening to them, looking them in the eyes, and letting them know that God loves them and we love them. That's so important. And miss that being a part of what we do, and I'm looking forward to that coming back at some point. But I thought it would be fun to incorporate some children's church type stuff in big church, right? Children's church, the goal is always to communicate the truth of the gospel as simply, in a fun way, and to communicate it in a way that's easy to understand. That's always the goal. Well, I think big church needs some of that too. We don't have to make it complicated, right? The gospel's not complicated, right? I say it all the time. The gospel is beautifully simple. Something doesn't have to be complicated to be deeply impactful, right? So I've been looking forward to this service and looking forward to incorporating some children's church stuff, and I'm going to get the kids to help me do something here in just a minute. The love of God is simple, and yet it's profound. And God's plan for the way that the church should operate, it's simple, and yet it's profound. Everyone has a role to play. Y'all say everyone. Everyone has a role to play, and every role is important. Y'all say every role is important. Amen. Every role is important. We all have a part to play. So, how many of y'all know what this is? Anybody recognize this? Who?
A potato head.
A potato head. That's right. How many of you played with one of these when you were a kid? Come on, Cole. Get the hand up. How many of you have kids or grandkids that played with one of these at some point? Right? Everybody knows what Mr. Potato Head is. So you can take his parts and you can rearrange them any way you want to. Right? So we could take his hat and put his ear up here on top of his head. And Mr. Potato Head don't care. It don't bother him none. Right? He's just a toy. So we can move his parts all around and make him look as silly and as goofy as we want to. And Mr. Potato Head don't care. He said, you can take my eyes and throw them over there. He don't care. Why does Mr. Potato Head need eyes? He's a toy, right? He don't care. But what about people? What about the church? Are people and is the church like Mr. Potato Head? Can we take parts away from the church? Why? Because every role is important. Every person has a part to play. I left my water over here. I'm already getting dry. Excuse me, y'all. I get up here and all of a sudden, like I've been sucking on a lemon. All right. So people are different and the church is different. If you were to take my nose off and reattach it where my ear is, is that going to work right? No, it ain't going to work at all. That might not bother Mr. Potato Head. That messed me up pretty bad, though, right? If you take a part off and you throw it to the side or you put it in a different place, then I am now less able to do the things that I need to do, right? I'm weaker when my parts are disconnected from the body. And I've got an example of this, a physical, like a real-life example, really close to home. My mama. Y'all never got to meet her. Wonderful, wonderful lady. Her health declined very quickly, and in her last year, she had to have one of her legs amputated just above the knee. Now, after that surgery was over, she didn't have a leg from here down anymore. She was just as much made in the image of God. She was just as important. She was just as wonderful a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a child of God as she ever was when she had her leg. But now she was unable to do a lot of things that she could do before because part of her was missing, right? It made things much harder. So when we think about what we're talking about today is, well, let me back up for a second. The Bible uses several different pictures to represent the church, to help us understand how the church functions, what the church is, right? There's several of them. The church is called the bride, right? Next week, we'll be talking about the bride of Christ, and we'll be talking about will be in Revelation. We'll be talking about the happy ending, you know, the end of all of this strife and everything, the sin and death and pain and suffering. We'll be talking about that next week. Talking about how we're the bride of Christ, that Jesus is going to return to call home someday. So that's one picture. Elsewhere in the Bible, the church is called the temple, right, or a building. Elsewhere in the Bible, the church is called a field. And then in another place, the church is referred to as a family. So there's all these pictures to help us understand what the church is. But the picture we want to focus in on this morning is the church as the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So the sermon a few weeks ago that started this series, it is directly related to this one. So the attitude that we bring to church is going to directly affect whether we're willing to submit our will to God's will and whether we're willing to serve instead of looking to be served at church. Think about any type of group. If it involves more than one person, then that group is better off if all parties are committed to serving others instead of being served. So I'll give you a couple of examples. A marriage. If you got a husband and a wife, and the husband puts the wife first, and he is looking to put her best interest first, and you got the wife, and she's putting the husband first, and she's putting his best interest first, then both of them are going to be taken care of because they're putting each other first, right? And usually a marriage is crumbled when the opposite happens and you start putting yourself first instead of the other one first, right? It works that way in other groups as well. So if you've got a team, whether it's a sports team or a group of coworkers, any group of people, any team is better off when everybody in the team, instead of putting themselves first, they're putting everybody else first. It just automatically makes things better, right? What's the old saying the coaches have? There's no I in team, right? If everybody will look out for others, then everybody's going to be looked out for. A team, whether it's work-related or recreational or any other type of group, it's not going to be successful when the members of the team are looking out for themselves instead of looking out for one another. It's true in those other relationships that we mentioned, and it's true in the church as well. So we're going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there's a couple of black Bibles back here on this back table. We'll have the verses on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we read through these verses together, my prayer is that all of us will see just how beautiful it is when God's people come together, united in purpose, to glorify God by loving and serving each other and by loving and serving the people around us. But before we read the text, let's pray again together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. It is your revelation of yourself to mankind. I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment to hear from you today. I pray, God, that you would speak through your word. Your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and able to instruct us, able to lead us in the way that we should go so that we can live lives that will please you, God. Just to have your way in this service. We love you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 14. Follow along with me. Verse 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body." Y'all say one body. "So also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many." So it's one body made up of many parts. All right, so I want to share three truths about the church, about the body of Christ. Here's the first one. Number one, everyone has a part to play in the body of Christ. Everyone has a part to play. That means that no one is just an observer. This is not a spectator sport. Church is meant to incorporate everybody coming together, using the gifts and abilities God has given each one of us to serve each other for the glory of God. That's what church is. There are many different roles in the church. We just talked a second ago about how some roles are more visible than others, you know, like the preacher or the music leader, but then there are many roles that are not as visible, just as important, right? Well, we're not able to do it right now, but hopefully someday soon we'll be back to having nursery volunteers back there rocking babies in the nursery, right? Not visible to very many people, just as important as anything else that's done, right? Men and women go back there in that nursery and they rock babies so that moms and dads can come in here and worship the Lord, and they'll know, they can rest their mind at ease that their baby's taken care of, and they can just concentrate on the Lord for an hour and then go back. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's an important part to play in the church. How about ladies cooking food for people that are sick or grieving? That's a very important role to play in the church. Not everybody knows who does that. So many meals have been prepared. The rest of the church doesn't see it or know who brought it and who didn't. God sees it. God knows. Every role is important. When a deacon gets a call at 2 o'clock in the morning to come check a security alarm going off at the church, we don't know about that. Only they know about that. But they do it because they're playing their part, their role in the church. Every role is important. And there's literally hundreds of more roles that we could list out. And we're going to list a bunch of them here in just a second. Many of them are unseen. But regardless of whether or not the role is visible, each and every role in the church is significant. So I want to share some more verses, lots of verses in the sermon this morning. A couple more from the chapter that we're in. So we'll go back to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Just to help drive home this point that everybody has a part to play in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good." Excuse me, y'all. A manifestation of the Spirit, a spiritual gift. God gives us gifts and abilities to serve with. That's what this is talking about. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. Not given to some people. It doesn't say a manifestation of the Spirit is given to extroverts instead of introverts. It doesn't qualify it anyway. It says the Spirit gives each person a gift, an ability to be able to serve with. And notice why the Spirit does that. Is it for the good of the individual? No, it says for the common good. So God gives you and me and every one of us for the common good. All right? Everyone has a part to play in the body of Christ. All right, let's look at verses 15 through 18 now. These verses are going to help us to understand the concept of many diverse people with different strengths and abilities coming together to create a group that is much stronger together than we are as individuals. Amen. God takes people that are very different, puts them together so that we'll be stronger together than we are apart. We just left off in verse 14 a minute ago that said the body is not one part but many. So the next verse, verse 15, says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted." God has arranged each part of the church just as he wanted. There's a couple of other chapters in the Bible that speak about the church being the body of Christ. You can look at those, and it'll help just give us a complete picture of what God was teaching us through this teaching in the Bible. One is in Romans chapter 12, so you can go read Romans chapter 12. It gives this teaching in a little bit different way. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, it's this same teaching in a little bit different way. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus about how the Lord equips the church for the ministry that we're called to. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 now. It says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." Did y'all catch that? Go back one. Who? The church is the body of Christ. Who is the head? Jesus is the head, right? And the rest of the body comes together to support the head, which is Jesus. All right, go to verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So it seems like it's a call to sacrifice. You mean, I got to give up my will and my way for the good of everybody? But we find out when we read the Bible that when we do that, God blesses us more than he ever would have blessed us if we do it our way. So by sacrificing, we end up blessed. Right? That's take up your cross and follow me. Right? Why in the world would we want to do that? Because he blesses that. Right? He deserves our following him. And when we do, he blesses it. Bless you. All right. Let's see here. All right. So, has anybody ever been to like an amusement park or something and seen those pictures? They're usually like cartoons, and they've got the face cut out, and so you can run up and put your face in it, and then you're like a superhero or a muscle man or whatever. I think we got a couple of pictures we can put up just in case you don't know what I'm talking about. This is a little boy putting his face there as a sheep. I think there's one more. Yeah. So everybody is familiar with it. How many people have ever taken your picture in one of these? Okay, that's just about everybody. Good. Okay, I'm not the only one. I love to make our kids do that. And like when they don't want to do it, then they'll just walk up and be like, and they'll take the picture. It's hilarious to me. So many of us have taken pictures like that. And those pictures are funny because the face doesn't match the body, right? Think about that imagery, right? How the face doesn't match the body. And think about what the world sees when it looks at the church as the body of Christ. When the world looks at the church, do they laugh because it looks silly, because it doesn't fit? Or do they look at the church as the body of Christ and stand in awe of a God that could take sinful, broken people and miraculously work in their lives to make them shine bright for him? I mean, that's what we want to do, but if we're being honest, we realize that sometimes, as the church, we don't match the body. I mean, we don't match the head. We don't match Christ. We need to seek to do that, right? God knows what he's doing. He knows what role you have to play in the body and in the church. So, I'm going to ask Kristen to come up, and I'm going to ask any of the kids that want to help with this. What we're going to do is we're going to put the body together. Don't be shy. Y'all come up and help me. Thank you, Elizabeth. so I don't know if everybody can see that or not, but we've already got the head up here. This is Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, right? So we've got all these body parts over here, and what we're going to do is we're going to put the body together. And as we do that, so y'all are all sitting in the seats thinking, oh, I'm glad I don't have to be a part of this. You do have to be a part of this. I want you to help all of us understand how the body works. So when somebody puts an arm up there, I want somebody to give me an example of something that is done in the church. So it can be outreach, it can be prayer, it can be fellowship, it could be anything that's done in the church. And we want to call those things out as we're putting the body together so we can see how all those roles fit together. Okay, everybody got a vague understanding of what I want us to do? Okay, we didn't even do a dry run of this. I have no idea how this is going to go. So if nothing else, it'll be fascinating to see how this turns out. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have, Kristen, you want to go ahead and help them put that part up? Okay. So we'll go ahead and get the torso up here. So what's anybody, and there's no wrong answer, what's something fundamental to the church that could represent the torso?
Love.
Love. So we are to love who?
Everybody.
Love everybody. Who? Love who first?
The Lord.
We love God, and then we love our neighbor, who's everybody else, right? So as we come together and we love, what are some specific ways that we can show that love to other people? What's something you can do for somebody that shows them love?
Pray for them.
Who? Pray for them. That's a great example. All right. So now what else we got? We got arms. All right. What's something that helps you? You just think of the imagery of reaching out to somebody. So what's part of the church? What's a role in the church that could represent, that we could represent the arms with? Outreach. All right, so what all falls under outreach? Visiting the sick, absolutely. All right. Taking meals, visiting the sick. Disaster relief, yep. What else? What it? Yes, search and rescue, absolutely. If you get a letter from a church member or a card, right, encouragement, that's outreach. If you were trying to outreach to others in the community, so what would be inviting somebody to church, right? Giving your testimony, okay? Right, all these things, it's not just a preacher preaching. It's not just a worship leader leading worship. There's so many things that go into the church doing what God has called the church to do. Right? There's a lot more to it. So we've got feet. We got hands. What's some other things? What's some other parts of the church that we have? I'm going to look at my cheat sheet now. Y'all have named a ton of them, but how about teaching? If you've ever taught a Sunday school class or children's church or any of the kids' classes, from the youngest to the oldest, the church needs teachers, people to teach and share the truth of the Bible, right? Got another hand. How about giving? Right? So tithes, offerings, donations to specific things, right? Prayer. What's next? We've got another foot. So what about service? Right? So there's, we have a security team. We have deacons and deacons' wives that do so much serving the church. There's committee members. Another way to serve the church is printing out the bulletins, right? They don't just magically appear on the table. Somebody does that, right? How about the media, right? The verses don't just pop up there because I think about them. Keegan puts them up there, right? We've got a treasurer and other people that help with the finance committee that make sure that our money is being used to glorify God. There's so many. We've got ushers that take up the offering and serve the church in different ways, right? There you go. Yeah, so we have somebody that they take their time to make sure that we've got flowers and that everything looks nice in the church, right? Yeah. That's right. Exactly right. How about when we go on the third Sunday night of the month to Coastal? Now, we haven't been able to do that in months and months, but we usually have just as many of us there as we did the kids, you know, some of the time, but usually it's more of them. But that's a great way to reach out. That's a great way for the church to be the church, and it shows us we don't have to be here to be the church, right? We're the church wherever we go, right? So, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's in heaven. He's coming back someday. I can't wait till he comes back. Sometimes I'm asking him to come back these days with everything that's going on. He's in heaven, but his will still being done. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still being shared, right? His love is still being felt by others through the church, through the body. He is the head, and he works through his people so that his will continue to be done, so that his mission will continue to be accomplished, right? That's why we say all the time that the gospel came to you and me on its way to somebody else. It doesn't stop with us. It comes to us, and then we praise God. We get the privilege to pass it on to somebody else, right? You know, I often hear soldiers, somebody will ask them, why do you serve? Why are you willing to serve? Why are you willing to go across the world to serve your country? And one of the answers that I hear a lot is that they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I felt a little bit of that when I signed up. I like the idea of being a part of something bigger than me, right? It wasn't just about me, it was about our nation. So I was proud to wear the uniform. On an infinitely bigger level than just a nation, as part of the church, we get to be a part of something way bigger than ourselves. We get to be part of something that's way bigger than Pine Grove or Bay Minette or Alabama. Right? We get to be a part of the church of Jesus. We get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. God has arranged the parts of the body for a specific purpose. So think about it. What if everybody that's here this morning, what if every single one of us showed up and we tried to do the same role? What if we showed up and every single one of us came here to lead worship this morning? And so when Robert stood up to sing, everybody else stood up and we all start singing our own thing because we're all leading worship, right? And so somebody's singing Nothing But the Blood, and somebody's singing a Lauren Daigle song, right? Somebody back there singing Shout to the Lord. And all of those songs are great, but it would be chaos if they were all saying at the same time, right? There's so much more that goes into the church being the church than one role, right? What if everybody showed up this morning and decided to help with the media, right? So the doors would still be, he's shaking his head, yes. Well, my former pastor used to talk about having a Baptist-costal fit. If 50 people showed up to help Keegan, he'd be dancing. But if we all tried to get back there and put the words on the screen, if we all tried to make sure that the sound was right, if we all wanted to make sure that we're streaming over Facebook so everybody can see us that can't be here, so many other things wouldn't be done. The air conditioning wouldn't be on. The doors would be locked. The lights would be off. There's so many things. There'd be no word to preach, right? Nobody'd lead worship because everybody's doing one thing. What I'm trying to say is we can't think that we can all do the same thing or that only some things are important. Everything has to be done, and it all comes together to glorify God and to draw us closer to Him. There's so many roles to play, and all of them are important. Sometimes you might be tempted to think that you are unimportant or that you don't have a role to play in the church. But God's Word says that that is not true. Everyone has a role to play. You are important, and you do have a role to play. Perhaps more now than at any other time, church is thought of as optional. It's really not considered that important. And the idea of being a Lone Ranger Christian is very popular. People tend to think that they're just fine on their own, don't need to be part of a local church family. But God created the church, and God loves the church, and God gave us the church as a gift for our benefit. We are stronger together than we are apart. We are better together than on our own. We can learn more together. We can serve more together. We can grow and mature in the faith more together than we can apart. So no matter what role you play, you are important. And if you don't have a role in a local church family, that church family needs you. So if you're not worshiping and serving in a local church, I want to encourage you to get involved. That might be here, that might be somewhere else. We're all on the same team. We're all worshiping the same Savior, trying to point people to Jesus. So wherever God leads you, get involved. Everyone has a part to play in the body of Christ. All right, let's continue. Another truth about being part of the body of Christ is this. Being part of the church can be really hard. Being part of the church can be really hard. It's not always easy. Now, in many ways, really most ways, being a part of the church is wonderful. It's not hard at all. But there are hard times. There are hard moments. There are hard seasons that come with being a committed member of a local church. Anytime you got multiple people working together on something, that means you got different personalities, you got different ideas, you got different attitudes, different agendas. And all of those have to come together to accomplish something as a group instead of as individuals. That can be difficult. And that could certainly lead to some uncomfortable moments. But listen, if we were to leave every church every time there was a hard time or a different season or a difficult person to get along with, we would never settle down anywhere because there is no perfect church. It does not exist. A church is a group of people that come together not because they're all related, not because they all have the same hobbies, not because they all support the same causes, or for any other reason. Churches come together because they all follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's what brings us together. We're all united in Christ, but we're still different in many ways. And different is good. God brings together people that have differences, and He causes those differences to complement each other when they're all working together to accomplish God's will. Occasionally, in the context of living life together as followers of Christ, we're all going to experience a disagreement here and there with somebody else on how something should be done. Right? Well, we experience that on the job. We experience that in our marriages and in our families, so it would be crazy to think that we wouldn't ever experience that at church. Right? There's a lot of people in this room. If we spend enough time together, somebody's going to get on somebody's nerves. Somebody's going to disagree about something, right? It just had Margie said no. Wish we were all like Margie. Alright. It can be uncomfortable and it can be frustrating when we disagree with somebody, or we don't always get along the best with someone in our church family. But when that happens, we got to trust the Lord that He's in control. We have to show love and patience and grace towards one another in spite of the disagreement. It can be real tempting to write people off as enemies when we disagree with them. And that happens so much in our world today. Right? We disagree about something. Okay, now you're my enemy. Our society seems to have completely lost the ability to respectfully disagree. The church doesn't need to continue that trend. We don't need to be a part of that. One of the ways that we can be a city on a hill, one of the ways that we can be a light in the darkness, is by going against the grain of cultural trends. So instead of writing people off that we disagree with, we need to love them instead. The world is so contentious and so divisive in so many ways right now. The world needs to see followers of Christ loving in spite of disagreements. That's one of the ways we can stand out the brightest right now. We don't compromise the truth. We don't change what we believe. But we don't make somebody an enemy because they disagree with us. We love them. Most of the frustrations and disagreements that we'll have in the church are small things. But if we don't deal with them correctly and biblically, small things can build up into big things. If we'll just remember that we're stronger together than we are apart, and if we will choose to love each other through our times of disagreement, we'll be able to make it through any storm of life that we'll face together, and we'll be an example to the world of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. All right, the final truth about being a part of the church body that I want to share this morning is this. Although we're different in many ways, we are united by the Spirit. We are united by the Spirit. So, what one thing do the members of the church have in common? Do we all cheer for the same football team? No, heck no. Certainly don't. That's not it, right? Do we all live in the same neighborhood? Nope, we don't. Do we all have the same hobbies? No, we don't. What one thing do we all have in common? We've all been born again. We've all been changed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, dead in sin, but made alive in Christ, right? We've all been redeemed. We've all received the hope of eternal life through Jesus, the Son of God. That's what unites us. When a person gets saved, the Spirit of God comes and indwells them. The Spirit lives within the believer. Peter preached that in Acts chapter 2, 38. He told the crowd that day on Pentecost, he said, Acts 2, 38. Thank you. He said, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you repent and you become saved, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Another verse about the Spirit living inside of us is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. It says, He has also put His seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. That's what unites us, the Spirit of God. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We are united by the Spirit. Now, the main passage that we've been looking at this morning is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. That passage is part of a larger group of verses that speak on spiritual gifts. We don't have time to break down spiritual gifts this morning. We'll return to that at another time. The Spirit of God gifts the people of God with spiritual gifts and abilities to serve Him. So let's look at a couple of verses from chapter 12 that reinforce this truth that we're all united by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, says, Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. Then we drop down several verses and pick up in verse 11. So after several examples of spiritual gifts are listed, Paul says, one and the same Spirit is active in all these, in all the gifts. One and the same Spirit is active, distributing to each person as He wills. See, the church is made up of people with different gifts and different personalities, people from different races and cultures, people of different ages. There's all kinds of differences within the church, but one thing unites us: the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites us and fills us and leads us to accomplish the mission that God has given the church. That mission is to help others see the love of Jesus Christ. So we want to help people across the street. We want to help people on the other side of the world. And we want to help everybody everywhere in between know the love of Jesus, just as we know it. That's why we exist, to help others know the love of Jesus. So this uncomfortable series that we're in, it is meant to challenge us to really embrace what the church is. It's meant to challenge us to resist that natural pull that we have to isolate ourselves and to do things on our own. And it's meant to challenge us to resist that natural pull to be attenders instead of committed, participating members. So I love what we have here at this church. I love it, and I praise and thank God for it. We've got a wonderful past, we've got an exciting present, and we've got an incredible future ahead of us. But no matter how strong things are now, they can get even stronger. Just because we're in a good place doesn't mean that things couldn't get even better. The more people are committed and are serving together, the more God's going to be glorified and the more successful we'll be in accomplishing the mission that God has for us. So I want to read something for us now, and then we're going to show a short video, and then we're going to be finished, all right? I came across this as I was preparing this week. It's about the role that each of us play as a part of the body of Christ. Listen to this. This is my church. It is composed of people, some just like me and some different from me. It will be friendly if I am friendly. It'll do great work if I work. It'll make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It'll bring others into its fellowship if I bring them. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It'll be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service, if I'm filled with these things. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things that I want my church to be. I don't know who wrote that, but there is wisdom there. We could all make a list of what we'd like our church to be, but God works through us to bring that about. A couple of years ago, Jenny Harvey made a video with a bunch of pictures of members of the church, and it was a Gaither Vocal Band song, "Let It Start in Me." I love that song, "Let It Start in Me," and it's the message of it is so important. We want God to move. We want revival to come. We want hearts to be changed. We want our country to be safe and God-fearing, right? We want people to know the love of Christ. Let it start in me. Don't let me point my finger at somebody else and say, you should do this. Let it start in me. All right, we've got a video we're going to show now.
Handing out Bibles. Building a home, clothing the needy, feeding the hungry, building wells in Africa, mentoring the fatherless, helping those in need, traveling to a third world country. These are Christ's feet. Consoling a friend, leading a small group, loving your neighbor, praying for the lost. We are Christ's heart.
As Christians, we have such an incredible opportunity to be a part of God's church, what God is doing in this world. God created the church for a purpose and for our benefit. And listen, we are better together than we are apart. We've all got a purpose. We've all got a part to play in the church. And even though there are difficult times, there's a lot more wonderful times, but there's the occasional difficult time. We are committed to serving together, and we're all united by the same Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you.